informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
I'll get into the Bregman slump in just a second. 8437. Cowboys game is a must-win, too. Can't have those fans talking their talk.
I said that.
What are they going to say? Congratulations,
what are they gonna say
you
now?
Beat a four-win team.
What are you going to say now?
What do you mean?
Who was famously saying that? Was it Herc Correa?
Oh, you talking about Kirk Cousins? How do you like
him? No. Correa, what are you going to say? What are they going to say now? Because of all the naysayers and the cheaters and all the other things when they were winning, I think that was famously one of his comments was, what are you going to say now?
Or you could go with the, if you're going to walk the, if you're going to talk the talk, you got to walk the walk, like Jimmy Johnson. You could go that route as well. I just don't know, what Cowboy fans are going to say. If you want to talk, team dominating
from
the other.
From the reason why you need a ticket to tailgate at NRG because of the Texans-Cowboy fan fights to the fact that there is a huge Cowboy contingent in this town, and we know plenty that are listeners to this show, You realize bragging rights means a whole hell of a lot. In this city and in Dallas, in terms of it doesn't matter what your record is. Look, the fact that you were an expansion team playing your first ever regular season game on national TV and you whooped that Cowboy ass, you think that they forgot about that easily? Probably not. David Carr beat them like a drum.
Yeah, but if Davis Mills doesn't beat the Cowboys, congratulations, Dallas.
But I'm just saying it means something more. You can say it's a must win with a caveat that they're not good enough to probably get it. You can look at it a million different ways, but to true Texan fans, that game means a whole hell of a lot. Crystal Collins, loyal listener to our show, president of the Dallas Cowboys fan club in Houston. Total Dallas has the name for a reason. Dr. Dre on 290, loyalist of loyal, Cowboy fan. Dustin his sources, Cowboy fan. I don't know how it happened. I don't know why. I just know that it means a lot to them, and that's why it means, I think it means a whole lot more for Texans fans.
713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. All right, Alex Bregman is in the midst of a huge slump for the Houston Astros. Cadillac Candy is having more success in the recent week than Alex Bregman is. Last seven games for Bregman, 2-for-25, has struck out 8 times. What's the concern level at for Alex Bregman in the slump that he's having?
I'm wondering if you're putting him on life support, you're going to try to bury another Astro so that maybe you can change the
foot and mouth.
Yeah, maybe you could change the whole outcome again, because I saw people putting his face on the back of a milk carton, literally, and putting it on Twitter last night. And, I think it kind of lends itself to the same thing that we went through with Yuli, the same thing when you said Altuve was over the hill and done. I mean, this team should at least warrant, because of their performances, a little bit more leeway before we start really being concerned. I think that he had a really awful year last year. He's coming off some major medicals. He looks healthy, but we don't know how long it's going to take for him to really feel 100%. We don't know how the wrist is feeling. We don't know how his legs are feeling. And it's been a grind. Look, they played less. I think they finally tied the Guardians last night for the two teams with the fewest home games to start the season so far, with 14. So you've been playing, massive amounts of road games in multiple different cities on each trip, and he's coming off injuries. I'm not going to sit there and be concerned about Alex Bregman until we get into June if he's still scuffling.
Yeah, if I'm ranking it on a scale of 1 to 10, my concern level is pretty low. Mm-hmm. It's probably around a 3, but it is something I'm watching, especially coming off the injury like you mentioned. Bregman isn't the same Bregman of the past when he was finishing top 5 in MVP voting back-to-back seasons. He's a different guy than that.
Do you think he can't get there ever again?
I don't think he'll ever get – no, I don't think – I would take any bet in the world that says Alex Bregman never finishes top 5 in MVP voting again. That's not to say he's going to be a bad player. I think he's got a chance to be, still very good. And I still like his at-bats. He's still walking a lot. I know he's in a recent slump here. But also the power stroke. He hit 41 home runs in 2019. Do I think Alex Bregman's ever going to hit 40 home runs in a season again? Nope. I don't think so.
And that's your prerogative to be able to have that opinion. I believe that if he's 100% healthy – he was too good prior to the injuries to think that he can't get back there again, and he's still at a good enough age where I think that his best years could be ahead of him. So I just feel there's been a whole lot of things to get through for this team, a feeling out process as a unit, as well as each individual guy going through, you know, Altuve's injury and what's happening with Lance McCullers. Like I said, a multitude of road games. You can go on and on. But as they start to figure it out, we start to feel really better and better about this team on a daily basis. I think at a certain point, that'll include Alex Bregman. The same way, look, especially because of his age, because of where he was in his career. Yuli Gurriel was a guy that most people were putting dirt on. You even said it was a eulogy coming pretty soon.
Yep.
And so now to see him break out of it and really look like he can get back to form, that means there's no reason why that Bregman can't do it too.
Yeah, I think it depends on like what kind of form you're talking about. Because again, I'm not really concerned where Bregman's at. I still think Bregman's going to be.
Can he be an all-star again?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he could be an all-star third baseman this year. And again, like I like his plate appearances. He's walking a lot. There's a lot of encouraging signs about Bregman. And Bregman notoriously, even when he was having those MVP level years in 18 and 19, where he finished fifth in 18, second in 2019, even those seasons he got off to really bad starts, where he just wasn't putting up a whole lot of offensive numbers. And he's a notorious slow starter. So I know it's May 20th and they're close to 40 games into the season, but I believe that the offensive production is going to tick back up. Like I said, he's walking a lot. Actually, leads the league in walks. So there's a lot of encouragement there. And I actually like what Dusty did with Bregman yesterday. I don't love the fact that Diaz was hitting third, but I like the idea of Bregman more in the top of the order than the middle of the order. I like him more in that, you know, I would love him lead off, but that's not going to happen.
I'll give you the devil's advocate to all that, though, Jeremy. Is the one thing that I don't like is I don't like bat in hand walking back to dugout Alex Bregman.
He's striking out a lot.
Yeah, for a guy that has just a pinpoint eye at the plate, that really fights off pitches that he doesn't like till he gets one that he does, that just doesn't seem like a guy that ever is going to strike out and look bad doing it. He got caught looking again last night right down Main Street, and there are times when you look at it and go, yeah, he's still not 100% because he would not normally be doing that.
8 strikeouts in 7 games. So it's not Alex Bregman. You know, it's kind of interesting. But he is still walking quite a bit. On the flip side of things, Jose Altuve, since he's been off the injured list, has been an animal for the Houston Astros. He's played 16 games since coming off the IL. His numbers, .355 average, .420 on base. His OPS is over 1,100, and he has 7 home runs in 16 games. That stint to the IL, that hurt hamstring, might be the best thing that happens to Jose Altuve all year long.
Well, and Jeremy, I think that lends itself to what we just got done talking about with Alex Bregman or Yuli Gurriel, that maybe because this was a rush spring training, guys couldn't go through their regular routine, that a lot of these guys are going to bounce back and get into their groove at different times. It's not all going to be the consistency of everybody's going through camp. Everything's going through spring training games, and then everybody breaks camp and gets ready to go, and then each guy is close to being where he needs to be. I think it's each case is an individual situation. And we've seen a lot of them play out because I don't know that going into the season I felt like Altuve needed any rest. Whether he needed to or the hamstring just gave him a chance to slow down and really kind of get refocused in and dialed in to play in a full season. Since he's come back, you know, there's no surprise that he came back and they immediately rattled off the win streak. He came back and he hasn't looked back in terms of what he's been doing at the plate or in the field. And that's a super encouraging thing if you're an Astros fan.
It's amazing how he's reinvented his game. Like, I mean, early in his career, the MVP season, like, he was very much a high average guy. The year he won MVP, he hit 24 home runs. Mm-hmm. Like, the fact now that he hit 31 home runs last year, 31 home runs in the year they went to the World Series in 2019, he's got the 8 so far, even though he had a stint on the injured list. Like, he has become, instead of being, like, a batting champ candidate, he's become one of the better OPS guys. And, like, he is a true slugger, despite the fact that he's 5'2".
You know,
yeah, crazy.
And it is. You're right. It's the rarest of rare to see a guy, first of all, with his stature, and also to consider how many 200 hit high average seasons he had, to suddenly think that he can completely transform his game into being a power hitting, minute sized second baseman that just has to put the fear in pitchers' hearts when he comes to the plate with any chance to hit one out, including what he's done leadoff. And then when you mentioned the great point that you made. Then when you start factoring in how many games he's missed as opposed to everybody else in the league, and yet he's right there in the mix with home runs and already has 8, you're like, damn, this guy not only hasn't slipped, this guy might be heading for a bigger year than he had a year ago.
See, that's why I agree with Dusty Baker. Remember in spring training and coming into the season, he was talking about how he didn't necessarily love the idea of Altuve leading off because, you know, he's got a bunch of power. He's a 30 home run guy. I agree with Dusty there. I don't believe that the best spot in the lineup for Altuve is the leadoff spot.
I think that I said all along, if you had someone better, I'd go along with it. But yeah. I wanted him there because he still has a great eye and he still makes a lot of contact. But I understand it if Peña continues to come on and keeps doing what he's doing and you want to go back to trying to do that because he can be an igniter. And a lot of times you'd like to see him get in more situations that he can't get into with runners on base and opportunities to get a big knock because he's sitting there at the end of the lineup with Chaz McCormick and the Machete and or Siri, that if you put him in the middle of the top of the lineup where he's going to see a lot better pitches because guys don't want to have to face the guy sitting behind him, that maybe you get a bigger igniter from a guy like Peña and you don't slip at all from Altuve, and then Altuve's in spots where he gets more guys on base to hit with.
I would love for them, and look, you can't do this. You can't do this whenever you're winning. Like, this is a losing streak move. I like the idea of flipping Bregman and Altuve. And I know that Bregman's slumping and he's in this. Maybe you need Bregman to get a little bit hotter before you would even consider doing this. But I love Bregman's eye at the top of the order, leads the league in walks. And then Altuve with his power, I think he's better suited in that three spot. But you can't do that whenever you're winning at the pace. And Altuve seems to be the spark for the Astros.
7-1-3. And that goes to what I always say, which is if it's not broke, don't fix it. Like,
yeah,
I don't want you to fix it right now if it's working the way it's going.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's more of like you find yourself in a losing streak. You're trying to shake things up to get the offense going. Right now, I'm good with it. If the Astros find themselves in a lull offensively, I would love for – I think Dusty even toyed with the idea. He said it in spring training. I would like the idea of that. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. It's a Frankie's Friday. Fire, you bring the heat. $50 Frankie's Italian Kitchen is coming your way. Coming up next, a lot of people talked about this Astros window, how it's starting to shut a little bit. It's starting to close a little bit. Nah, Astros window still wide open. That's next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Ocho saying right blank. Bregman's plate discipline has been bad lately. Last night he was taking YOLO swings as if he were just hoping the bat hits the ball. He was Alex Siri. Ooh. It is concerning. This Bregman seven games where he's, you know, 2 for 25, 8 strikeouts is not
the strikeouts, what bother, like I said, is what bothers me the most. As much as I believe he'll break out of it, you know, he's got such a good eye at the plate, especially, you know, as it relates to the corners, not just the top and bottom of the zone, that it's really alarming when he doesn't, you know, he goes back to the dugout without even taking a cut, watching a called third. Yeah, and those numbers are a little bit concerning.
Guess who Dusty's resting today?
Oh, God. Are we going to do this again?
Yeah, we are.
Altuve?
No, not Altuve.
Okay. Well, he rested Brantley and Yuli last night. Yordan?
Yeah.
Hey, I got it on the second guess.
Yeah. Somebody texting. I haven't actually seen the lineup. He could be lying to us.
Well, you know, he does like to sit the guys that are hot.
Yeah,
the easiest way to get a day off is to hit two bombs in a game or do something really productive.
1567 saying that Yordan's not in the lineup today for the Houston Astros, which that stinks. I mean, Yordan's a very good offensive player, but I haven't seen it, actually. He might be lying to us.
You know what else stinks?
What's that?
The bathroom when someone's in the stall and they're absolutely losing their mind, but you hear videos being played and you go, what the hell is going on? And you know that someone is in our stall at work.
Do you know who was in it?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes. A lot of people like to call him Pretty Andrew. But it seems that the producer of The Wheelhouse might be Stinky Disgusting Andrew, as he was watching the HEB commercial with the Astros guys while he was sitting in stall number one.
Well, he's just trying to get some work done. He's just trying to forecast how he's going to use
disgusting,
that.
Disgusting, Jeremy. Plus, you're wasting too much time in there. And it's our bathroom. You've seen it.
Sounds like he's being productive.
Okie dokie. Shocker you take the opposite side
well,
of me.
I'm just saying. It does sound like he's being productive in there. It sounds like he's using his time efficiently as opposed to just, you know.
Like the guy that I've told you about that also on this floor when you walk in there and he's in the stall and he's on the phone and he first says, hey, what's going on? And you're looking around like, is he talking to me while I'm at the urinal? And then you realize he's got someone on the phone. And then because someone says, is it echoing? And he goes, oh, no, I'm in the car wash. But I needed to get back in touch with you. You lying sack of you know what. You're not in the car wash. You're in a stall.
Did he, did Andrew not courtesy flush?
Dude, I didn't pay that much attention. I was already shocked. And Sean was walking in and I was like.
You were shocked.
I turned around and Sean even looked at me. We both were shaking our heads like someone's in here and we're hearing at max volume the HEB commercial coming out of a stall.
But you were shocked?
Yeah. I still have higher expectations and hopes for the staff here.
You want to listen to that HEB commercial?
There's a lot of them that are funny. I've seen all of them.
Maybe the one that Andrew was listening to in the stall. Here's the one that I thought was it was just adorable. The salsa commercial with four Houston Astros.
Okay, so I think we're all set. We have HEB tortilla chips here, made-in-store guac, fajitas are sizzling, and of course, a selection of salsas.
What's all this?
I told you I was hosting salsa night.
Yeah, salsa night.
Yeah, salsa night.
Salsa night.
Salsa night.
Salsa night.
Salsa night.
Salsa night.
Fine. It's salsa night.
Salsa night.
They were arguing about which salsa they were talking about. Bregman and Altuve, of course, were talking about the salsa that you eat. And Jeremy Pena and Lance McCullers, whose elbow looked very good doing the little salsa snaps that he was doing. They were
oh,
dancing.
That's where we're at now? That's the level of attention to detail we're focused on. Okie dokie.
Yeah, I think the UCL is just fine if he's snapping above his ears and shoulders in an HEB commercial.
27 snaps, and he's ready for Major League pitching again.
He has thrown 3 days in a row, LMJ.
On a flat surface with a speed gun clocking him?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I think that's the case. Astros lineup tonight, I found it. Saw it from Berman. Altuve, Brantley, Bregman, Tucker, Gurriel, Pena, Dubon's in center today with Chaz in left and Martin Maldonado catching. So Yordan gets the day off. You know how you don't give Yordan the days off? If you make him your permanent DH and don't ever let him play the field, his bat's too good.
Well, and I think that they like to have the opportunity to put Uncle Mike there just so he doesn't have to play the field, but he can still have a bat in the lineup against righties.
Yeah.
But
that's true.
I am with you on that. I'm curious to see Dubon play center field because I like what I've seen of him. And the fact that you gave a guy that probably was never going to have a position on a major league team in your system an opportunity to play elsewhere so that you could get a guy that could play multiple positions. And it looks like he knows what he's doing with the bat. He spent time with Biggio in the cages yesterday and really was honored to be around him but was trying to absorb as much as he could. I like this young kid, and I think he might be able to help them a whole hell of a lot better than their other option, which should be optioned out as soon as possible, in Nico Badrum.
Yeah, he's in Sugarland.
Oh,
he's
good. He should stay there.
Space Cowboys most of the time.
That's what I mean. Stay there.
As he experiments with the robo zone that they're using.
Maybe he should experiment with getting hits.
He might be. I don't know. I mean, I hope he's never back in an Astros uniform. A lot of people talk about this this Astros window, that it's closing. And I think a lot of people relate that to, like, Gerrit Cole's gone, George Springer's gone, Carlos Correa's gone, Jose Altuve's getting older, Alex Bregman's not producing as much as he did in the late, you know, back in 2017, 18, 19. But I love this Astros window, if I'm being completely honest with you, because you still have the good veteran players, but you have this young core that – I think it's as good as a young core as anybody in baseball. You have Kyle Tucker, Yordan Alvarez, who looks like, I mean, that's a middle of the order that everybody wishes that they had. Jeremy Pena, I think you have to put into that conversation as a core piece as well. I don't know if I'm willing to put Jake Myers there yet. I need to see a lot more from Jake Myers to be willing to put him in that category. But then also the young pitching staff. Fromber being 28, but he's under club control for a while. Luis Garcia, if you want to throw Christian Javier there as well. I love the Astros core. Now you need to bring some help around it. You need James Click to make some good moves. You need James Click to, you know, go find a Gerrit Cole and bring him to a World Series team like Luno did in 2018. But I love this core going forward. I think the window is wide open, and you just hope that James Click can build around this core that you have.
It's a real rarity in sports because there's different ways to define, you could say, call it a dynasty, but a sustained long run of winning, because it's so hard to do. And when you do it for multiple years, people look at you and then they start throwing that D word around. But when you look at what the Astros have, they've had and they can continue to have going forward to the guys that you mentioned, it's a really special situation because it could fall off in an instant like it did with the Rockets and the Texans. But instead, it looks like they're not rebuilding, they're reloading. And the fact that they've got two young guys, as you mentioned, coming down the pike that we already know are going to be key players in Yordan and Tucker. But then you look like the kid comes in at shortstop in Pena, and instead of going through growing pains and all the things you were expecting on the negative side, you're positively surprised by the fact of all the things he can do and where his numbers rank among shortstops in baseball. So you got to believe he's there. And then you forgot to mention McCullers. Now, of course, health is a major concern, but you got him locked up for a long time.
You're right.
So you add him to the mix. And like you said, with the young starting pitchers under team control, some of the young players that you know are in the bullpen that are under team control, there's no reason to believe that this team can't just, you know, pull a string here, do a trade there, get a guy here or there, and this team's going to be relevant for the next 3 to 5 more years.
Yeah, anybody you hear saying that the Astros window is closing or that they're not as good as they were in the past or they're not a true World Series contender, they don't know a whole lot about baseball. The Astros, maybe they need to make a move in July to add to this team. You know, maybe they need to make a move in the offseason to make them a better chance of winning a World Series. But this Astros team's very good. The core's very good. The window is still very much wide open. And I really don't see anybody in the American League West being a true contender for like the next half a decade.
I mean, you know, the Angels are going to try to buy their way in. And they're going to continue to spend money hand over fist trying to add pitching and get veterans that can actually stay healthy once they acquire them to complement the guys they got. They're going to have to pay Ohtani a large sum of money coming up, and that's going to hinder their ability to just spend stupid money. The Mariners still on the rise, but not what anybody thought that they were going to be even this year. The A's have fallen way off. The Rangers have overspent on the same player twice. And one's playing second base now, but do they really have enough to be considered a team in the next 2 to 3 years should be reckoned with? I don't think so. And I think then you just have to kind of put it on Click's shoulders to say, hey, this team's good enough to win the division for the next 3 to 5 years. What are you going to do so that they can do more than that? Because that's where, like you said, they're going to have to fortify it with some veterans. They're going to have to make some moves with some teams where they might have to part with some youth, but they get people that can help take them to the next level and then see how far they can go.
713-780-ESPN. How do you feel about the Astros window? Is it wide open? Do you feel like it's shutting? What does it have to do to be kept open? 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. Also, when we come back, which quarterback in the NFL that wants a new contract would you be most willing to give one to? That's next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Razor sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, we'll get into this Astros window in a bit. Some people texting in about it. But let's go out to the HRMP listener. It is a Frankie's Friday Fire, so we'll give people the opportunity to bring some heat if they would like. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Judd, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Judd?
Thank you so much, Jeremy. I hope you're enjoying your time in North Kakalaki. I wanted to get into the must-wins that you guys wanted to speak about, the 6 must-wins for me and why I think they're going to win 6 games. They're probably going to sweep the Jags because this is what all Texans want to do. That's what all franchise fans want because we hate the Jags. It's the crappiest team. You can afford to lose to anyone else. You're probably going to sneak one away from Tennessee because I just think they're going to mess up. Matt Ryan, 2016 garbage MVP, I know, is going to dominate this division, in my opinion, because Carson Wentz set him up with an amber turd of a schedule. You have to also look at splitting the NFC East. Other than Jalen Hurts on national TV, I'm still not scared of him, though. Who are you scared of in the NFC? Because remember, we're going to beat the Cowboys because it's just what we do, and the Cowboys, we're going to want to beat them because the only thing we talk about is how they don't make the playoffs, they don't win in the playoffs, and we have more playoff wins than them. The Bears, we're going to win. It's a must-win because they suck. It's another young quarterback the NFL needs to keep up with, and you got to think, Lovey needs to beat his old team. Trevor Lawrence is another reason why you got to beat the Jags and the Eagles. Jalen Hurts is young, and the Dolphins is young. And again, 115 QBR higher. How many times did Mac Jones have that? 4 times. Davis Mills had it 3. Trey Lance had it twice. And I really think that no one's really looking into if Watson doesn't play next year, we're going to get Cleveland's pick. They're going to be last in their division. So thank you for letting me talk.
You got it, Judd. Strong.
He got paid by the word for a minute. That dude got a whole lot in a short period of time. Judd, wow.
He might be being paid in pasta because that was strong on a Frankie's Friday Fire.
Yeah, I thought you were going to try and match it with your response.
No, I mean, it was very good. I don't know if I
It was definitely some homework done before he actually got on the line. He was ready for primetime when we brought him up.
That red light turned on.
He was ready to go. It was go time, baby.
Dr. Dre said this caller has an armadillo hat on. I think that that's probably, probably true.
I think he wants to fill in for Cody next Thursday at our BK.
Yeah, might not be a bad idea. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Dusty said, tell Judd that it's dangerous to drink too much Red Bull. Yeah, he brought it. He was ready to go. He brought the energy.
I mean, Jeremy, I don't know what you're talking about, but I've been looking at the schedule for quite a while now, and I see that, you know, between 6 to 8 games of the games they can win, and we can go down the schedule one by one. I can give you a bullet point for each one of them, but I can tell you right now, it is better to win than to lose, and that's why I feel like this team's going to be heading the right direction. What do you think?
Should I be concerned that he knows I'm in North Kakalaki?
I didn't even know where you were until before the show today when I asked Sean. I knew you were out of town. I had no clue where you were, and he already knew. You sure this was one of your friends you didn't set up that's looking for a broadcast gig?
I don't know. I don't have friends like that. 7629 says that the window is open as long as Verlander is healthy. Do you have to put Verlander in that conversation for this Astros window to be open?
Nope. Look, for one more year you do. And then based on what he wants to do and where you think he's at, you can still have him along as part of the process. But you had too much talent on this team to realize to actually think that Verlander would dictate it one way or the other. You can find another top-of-the-rotation guy depending on how much you want to spend. They're out there every year in free agency.
It's not easy to do it. I think that the Astros had very good fortune to get Verlander in the fold. Like, let's be completely honest. Detroit was trying to get rid of the contract. He wasn't having a very good year, and you still had the August 31st trade deadline, which literally does not exist anymore in baseball.
Right.
So the Astros had a lot of very good fortune there to get that done at the last moment. You know, didn't have to put a huge package together because Detroit, again, was trying to get out of the contract. So there was a lot of good fortune. But the Astros did also acquire Gerrit Cole. So, you know, that was back-to-back seasons in which – yeah, I wouldn't put Greinke in the ace conversation.
No, not necessarily ace, but really solid veteran starter that actually – upgraded your starting pitchers.
Yeah, but sure. That's 3 years in a row in which the Astros, I can't remember when they acquired Greinke. It might have even been 18. So maybe it was three in a year
close,
and a half.
Yeah.
So anyways, you acquired three in a pretty short time. Now, that was Jeff Luhnow, and you know the Astros have James Click, and I think that the jury's still out on James Click and his
time.
Aggressiveness to be able to pull off moves like that, which is my concern, really, about the window. Like, I told you how bullish I am with the window. I tell you how it's wide open. The Astros aren't going anywhere. One of my big concerns is I really don't know what James Click is as a GM right now.
I don't either.
I really don't.
And I've told you this. I mean, the jury's still out till the first big decisions are made. One was to let Correa walk, which looks really good right now with Peña. But more importantly, aside from what he did at the trade deadline a year ago, we haven't seen him do much. And, you know, Nico Goodrum is not the kind of guy that I'm looking for to hang my resume on. I'm looking for moves that make this team better than they already are and better than the one he inherited. And that's why it's so important between now and the trade deadline that he does things. And I think multiple moves have to be made before I can pass judgment on him short-term, long-term. And I think that the one thing you also have to factor in when you think Verlander's going to dictate things, we know what kind of a rubber arm he has. And even that gave way a little over a year ago to Tommy John surgery. But we know that he's kind of a freak of nature. Well, so was Max Scherzer. And the other night, Max Scherzer, not having anything to do with his arm, had a left oblique strain that's going to keep him out 6 to 8 weeks. That's why as much as you are worried about a guy that's going to be your frontline starter that's been there and done that, you got to get a guy that you also know is going to continue to do it for the amount of time that you're going to bring him in for. And that's something else that you really got to pay special attention to as you look at older veteran-type players, because the breakdown factor isn't just centered around their arm or their legs or whatever position they play. The breakdown factor is just overall at a certain age, you're going to start breaking down across the board, and that could really hinder a playoff run.
Yeah, you're right. You know, you try to avoid the injuries, and you know it looks like the Astros dodged a huge one with the over-easy, and then they still have the Lance McCullers one that the saga is going to be the saga and the black cloud over the Astros. I mean, I feel bad calling it a black cloud, but it is a story, right? It's a story until Lance McCullers comes back.
Yeah, no doubt about it, and that's why I said, look, I don't want to be the guy that rains on everybody's parade. I just feel like until he actually comes back and proves to me when he is back that he looks good and he can stay healthy, I'm not anticipating he's going to be back. I'm not counting on him to be a part of what this team is going to have for the rest of the season into the playoffs. Because as you know, and I've overemphasized it, this should have been taken care of in the offseason one way or the other. As much as it was a huge pain in the ass to have to go through it in the playoffs when you knew what you could have been if he was still pitching the way he was for the start of the playoffs, the last thing you wanted to do was to carry over into the following season. Now it's not only carried over, it's consuming the first part of the season. It doesn't look like he's going to be back until closer to midseason. So I'm just not going to have false expectations set for a guy that I can't count on right now.
Yeah, I think that might be the best way to look at it. And I'm a more optimistic about Lance coming back than you are. But it might even be better to look at it as like, okay, you can't count on anything. And anything you get from him is just a bonus.
But if you get him, Jeremy, at the right time, it could be a bonus. Because instead of trading for a starter, it could be like acquiring one if he comes back and he can get back to form.
Yeah, it might be I think it is a good outlook to have when it comes to McCullers. Anything you get from him in 2022, it seems like, is just gravy. And he could be the number two starter. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think you can turn that out of, like, I don't think you can rule that out as well. Fake Tony Stark on Twitch and 2128 bringing up the fact that they didn't have Verlander the last two seasons and went to the ALCS, went to the World Series. So why would you throw him into that, you know, must have him for the window to be open?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. That's another factor as well. Like, there's too much talent on the rest of this roster to say that one pitcher is the end-all, be-all, has to carry you guy that has to be there. So that's why I love fake Tony Stark. That's just another reason why, you know, I agree with him and I stand by what I said. He's not going to be a guy that dictates how far you go and what you do, because there's other starters to be had that are younger that are going to be available on a year-to-year basis in free agency.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Troy, you're in the Hive in the Killer Bees. What's going on, Troy?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, you brought it up while I was waiting to get on. Lance McCullers, I mean, what do you guys think? He can't stay healthy. I say let him come back when he comes back and then let him finish the year and then find somebody stupid enough to pick up his contract, because you can't count on this guy. Where was he in the postseason last year? Yeah, he helped you get there. But where was he then? Where's he at now trying to help the team? I don't have any faith in him coming back and being solid and staying healthy. I'll hang up and listen.
Appreciate you, Troy, always. Go ahead, Jeremy. I already said
he hung up quickly, Troy. My goodness.
That's my guy, though. Troy is always in and out, quick. He's not quite Judd in his presentation, but he's just as quick.
Was that a rotary phone? Like, you could hear the hang up. You could hear the phone hitting the signal there. I just don't know what choice you have. Like, what are you going to do? Like, you can't trade him because you're...
It's damaged goods, right? No one else is going to take what you're worried about.
Like, I mean, you could get something for Lance McCullers, don't get me wrong, but you're not going to get anything near what he could possibly give you on the field. Like, it's the whole... you're not going to buy high and sell low. That's foolish. You're not going to sell low on Lance McCullers. The only choice you have is to try to get him as healthy as he could possibly get and then try to keep him healthy as best as you possibly can. Because when he is healthy, he is a quality top of the rotation.
And like you
pitcher.
Said, you're getting him at a bargain price if he's healthy. It's just now with every passing injury, it's a bigger if.
Yeah, I mean, so you really don't have a choice. What you have to do now is you have to rely on the medics. You have to rely on your medicals. You have to make sure that you get him as healthy as can be. You have to make sure that whenever he is back, you're looking at keeping him as healthy as he can be, in whichever way that is. Keith Law thinks it's the bullpen. You hate that idea. Six-man rotation could be an option as well. So you have no choice. Lance McCullers is what he is at this point.
Yeah, no, absolutely right. And like I said, you know what? If he didn't have the injuries, you might be complimenting James Click and his staff for getting a guy at a bargain price that can continue for year after year to be a guy that you've got locked in. Now it's just quite the opposite, because we know that injuries happen and it can derail even the best laid plans. And right now we're all playing wait and see, but that's why I am not going to be in a position of counting on him. I am looking at him as he could be a hell of an add-on if he does get healthy and does get right and proves that he can stay healthy when he comes back.
Yeah, I think it's a good outlook to have. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Frankie's Friday Fire if you want to get in. Also, when we come back, we'll take a look at the quarterbacks that you would be the most willing to pay of three quarterbacks that really want a new deal. That's next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, guys, another game tonight. And you know what? It's not going to be as interesting to watch unless you've got a certain – TV service because it's not on with Blummer and TK like it normally is, but you want to make it interesting anyway. Well, aside from finding a different way to watch it, you can put some money on it. And I keep telling you the best place to put your money is mybookie.ag. For any sporting event, it can make it more interesting. Even the most uneventful game that you really have no rooting interest in, you can make it must-see TV if you put some money down and have a chance to profit from it. I mean, you talk about money lines, props galore. Nobody gives you more opportunities to win than MyBookie.ag, and nobody does more for their customers either, and getting started is simple. Whether you're new to MyBookie or you're just going to reload, there's a deposit bonus waiting for you. All you got to do is log on to MyBookie.ag right now. Click on the bonuses tab. Then you're going to use the promo code BET975, and you are going to claim a MyBookie deposit bonus. You could be a diehard fan that can't miss a game and wants to even get more jacked up about a certain matchup that you might have some inside information on or have a gut feeling. Or you're a newcomer to the sport, but you want to make the game even more interesting. Now's the time to join the MyBookie family. Start enjoying baseball games even more. And no, it doesn't stop there. NBA playoffs almost every night. Soccer this weekend. MMA this weekend. Golf and a whole lot more. You name the sport, they probably can allow you to bet on it. In-game betting as well. Sign up today. Use the promo code BET975. Secure your first deposit or reload bonus at MyBookie.ag. As I always tell you, you can bet anything, anytime, anywhere. With the only place that I tell you you should lay your money down, it's MyBookie.ag.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. Razor-sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, Frankie's Friday Fire. Who are we giving our $50? Frankie's Italian Kitchen.
It's a vote. Maple Syrup gets his input. Thank you for helping out, Sean. We appreciate you. I liked Bizzle. I think Bizzle brought a lot. It didn't seem pre-rehearsed. He had a lot that we ended up focusing on after the call, good, bad, and otherwise. So my vote will go for Bizzle.
Bizzle?
Yeah, he called in.
Yeah, I remember Bizzle. Bizzle
okay,
was
well, then
good.
Why'd you say it like you were perplexed?
Well, I was. It was between Bizzle and Judd for me.
Judd seems more your speed.
Well, I don't know if anybody's that speed. The point that you brought up about the rehearsed part, how much should that be a factor here, Mapes? Do you think that the rehearsed part should be
I've already made my selection. Your criteria may be different.
I think the rehearsed thing comes into play.
I think it does, too, and I will commend him for going above and beyond. He brought some preparation to the show, but I do think that what Joel said, that Bizzle actually took the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
He helped forward the conversation a little bit. Judd was, I like the call, a little bit of a sideshow.
Yeah, see, I like the call, too, but the rehearsed thing, yeah. So I think it's 2.5 to 1/2 here. I think Bizzle is going to Frankie's Italian Kitchen, $50 to Frankie's Italian Kitchen.
Do you take calls for any of the things you've ever done? Like, I'm talking about game-wise, with one of the teams that you've worked for. Do you ever had to take the calls?
No, never done, like, a post-game call.
So by now, most people always remember or know the fact that when I used to do the pregame, halftime, and postgame, after I would do the highlight show recap of the game, a lot of times I would either stick around and take some calls or we would do a quick segment of calls before we get off the air. There was a dude that did that every night. Like, I would do the highlight show and I would script it out and I would introduce the highlights accordingly and try to be creative and all those things. And then he would call and he would go, "Joel, let me tell you about the game tonight at Toyota Center between the Rockets and the Indiana Pacers. Let me tell you how it started, James Harden." And I'm like, you can't do it. And then Matt would get the call-in show, and he'd call Matt back to try and continue on. And Matt was like, "If you script it, you're done." And we were like, "Yeah, it's just that's a factor."
Yeah, I think it is a factor. All right, everybody, take the day off work and play a fun round of golf with your favorite sports station at the ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 Occasional Invitational presented by SiteJab.com, benefiting Kids Mills. This year's tournament will take place Tuesday, June 14th, 10:30 a.m., Wildcat Golf Club. Each golfer will receive beverages from Carbach Brewing Company, lunch from Mendocino Farms, dinner, 18 holes of golf, and an award ceremony immediately after the tournament. Register now at ESPN 97.5.com. Tiger Woods might not be playing golf this week. weekend. Plus four currently. I think the cut just got to plus four.
Yeah.
The Tiger's only through four holes, so
four straight pars. I've been watching
him. To do.
Yeah, you know, it's. I don't know how bad that leg was. I know when he left the course, and even him, who normally acts so tough and doesn't like to let on what he's dealing with, made everybody know that he was in pain yesterday. So the later start time today has helped him so far from the standpoint of his leg, probably. But this is a hilly course, and all the terrain looks like it's taken a massive toll on him. I don't expect to see him over the course of the weekend, because he's one of those guys where if he can't really make a push, he's probably going to pull the plug.
My wallet wouldn't mind that.
Oh, you bet against him again?
Well, we'll talk about it Monday.
Oh, yeah.
Troy texted in, what the heck? I thought everybody still used rotary phones. That's a good line. And then
what's the progressive people that do that commercial? Let me show you what speed dialing looks like. And then he takes the rotary phone and just dials quicker.
I haven't seen that one.
Oh, yeah. And then the guy's got a mullet. And then he's like, that's real wood grain on the side of his car. And it's constantly like they don't believe in change. It's for Champion Energy, I think.
Oh, okay. So it's not the one like you're acting like your dad or whatever?
No.
Because those commercials are very good, too. Those are funny. 7703, Mills Mafia Leader here. Thank you for an upbeat set. Have a great weekend, guys. I'm surprised he listens to us. If he's the Mills Mafia Leader, we're not always the highest on
I thought Davis your boy was the Mills Mafia Leader.
Who's that?
Dick Willie.
Oh, yeah, he does.
He is the leader of the
self-proclaimed.
He is the leader of the band on that one, isn't he, aside from ZZ Top?
Yeah, I think he is. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Cody Stutes, Mike Meltzer coming up after our show.
Fair.
That will be the wheelhouse today. That is a fair assessment.
That's fair.
Because it's yeah. The accurate
Mike Meltzer
assessment.
Will – how many over-under on fares Mike Meltzer uses in a four-hour show?
Oh, man, that's
– five?
I was going to say 2 an hour. I was going to put the number at 8.
Well, I'm going low, you're going high. I'll go under, you go over. Let's set it at 6.5.
Middle it. Okay. Yeah. 6.5. I'm guessing AC, if he can get off the stool, he'll be producing the show, right?
So I hope he washes his hand and his phone.
So he needs to have a fair counter. 6.5. We're setting the number. Over under 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. 6.5 fares for Mike Meltzer. You going over, you going under. Andrew Carlson will tweet it out later. I'm putting more on his
By
plate,
the way, when Andrew Carlson found out that I called him out, it looked like he fell asleep in a lawn chair in the parking garage on the top level. Like, he was redder than a beet going, Joel, I don't think. I'm like, come on, man. Seriously, like. There's etiquette, man. That the HEB commercial blaring off the walls like you were at a rock concert.
You didn't want him to go to the bathroom?
Like, no, I wanted him to like separate the bathroom from phone time video watching.
If he had earbuds in, would you have cared?
My boy Barry Laminack says 6.5 is fair. Well played, sir. Well played.
If he had earbuds on, would you care?
I wouldn't know, so I would care less than having Sean standing right behind me and all of a sudden being like. Going, where the hell's that coming from? We didn't know we had Muzak speakers in the ceiling. No, it's Andrew in stall number one.
You're shaming that dude.
Dropping Breggy bombs. And by the way, in those commercials.
He eats a high fiber diet.
Do you think that Alex Bregman wanted them to eat Breggy bomb salsa instead of HEB salsa?
I meant to talk about that, actually.
Really?
I thought that commercial was actually well done where it like. It had the innuendo that he was talking about Breggy salsa,
yeah.
But they couldn't legally do it.
Right.
Like, they didn't do it, like, with whether it was a contract, whether it was talking about it, but he was, like, a variety of sauces. Like, it was very sarcastic and, like look at this.
But the one he holds up is the HEB brand sauce.
Well, I mean, it's an HEB commercial.
That's what I'm saying. It's an HEB commercial. They're right in doing so. But because he has his own salsa, I'm sure everybody is all of a sudden going to go, wait a minute, where's the Breggy bombs?
Cody pointed out that a Breggy bomb is on the table in that commercial.
Oh, it is?
Really?
Okay.
There's just nobody's eating it because it's not any good?
See, you just can't stop. I mean,
it's just a fact.
Or is it another piece of land purchased on Bad Take Boulevard? I don't know.
Well, you should try the salsa and you let me know.
At least I don't have to try the neighborhood.
I mean, I still have most of it left in my pantry if you'd like to give it a shot.
Gosh, you are brutal on that. I guess we're not going to have Alex Bregman
brutal.
On the show anytime
the
soon.
He gave me a bro hug once at TDECU Stadium. I think we're on good terms.
For what?
He had more than salsa. And
oh.
He was down at the field of a football game, and I think it was whenever he won. I think it was when he won the Silver Slugger. And I was just walking by him, and I go, hey, man, congrats. And he, like, leaned in, gave me a little dap, and, like, hugged me. Like, he initiated it.
Wow. Which, I mean, made your evening.
I wouldn't say that.
You were a butt tap away from just having one of those weekends.
I mean, I don't really care if a third baseman is giving me a hug.
Okay. Like, I mean, you do it all the time traveling with the baseball team, right?
It's not really my thing. It was the second – I actually hung out with Alex Bregman once at a walk-ons in Baton Rouge.
What the hell is with you hanging out with athletes at random, like, middle-of-the-road restaurant
chains? It's not that random.
He
went to LSU.
Right, but you hung out with Iverson at a Fridays. Hung out with Bregman at a – what did you call this place?
Walk-ons Bistro in Baton Rouge. It's awesome. They actually have one in spring now. It's terrific. It's a great spot.
I'm sure they're exactly the same.
I'll give them credit for that, hanging out. Kim Mulkey Robinson was there that night, too.
Was she the coach at LSU yet?
Not yet. No. This was several years. This was probably this was 2017.
Interesting.
Well, her son played baseball there.
Oh, I didn't know.
Kramer Robertson. I think he's in the Phillies organization now.
Kramer! Okay.
Yeah.
Who names
we'll
their kid
this.
Kramer?
Kim Mulkey Mullet.
Evidently
Kim
so.
Mullet Robertson. Kim Mullet Robertson.
Doesn't sound like a nickname, so I'll go with that unless he's got wild hair and a little tick.
We'll get to the quarterback talk next week.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for Sean Mapes doing all the hard work
Maple
today,
syrup.
Putting up with us, doing double duty on a Friday. Appreciate that. He's Blankers. I'm Branham. We'll talk to you next week, Houston. Have a great weekend. The Wheelhouse with Cody Stutes and Mike Meltzer is
Fair.
Next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.